We are studying through selections of Proverbs. And Proverbs is not arranged topically, though the books you might get at the bookstore seem to make it look like that, but that's not how it's arranged. It's more like napkin notes that have been tucked in a pocket and then compiled and put together. So we're actually just going to look at a couple today. I know I have five of them printed, but as the week went on, I really zeroed in on two of them, the two that are on the right side of the order of worship there, Proverbs 29:25 and 31:30. So they're very close to each other in the Bible, if you'd like to look there in your own copy of the Scriptures. Proverbs 29:25, and then we'll flip the page over and do 31:30. 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. 31:30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we return to you as your people, and we need your help. Our minds and hearts are so busy and full. And so please speak clearer and louder, more pointedly than any of the messages that we've imagined or heard this week. We need your truth. We need the gospel. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be familiar with René Spitz. If you're not, you may be familiar with his study. He was an Austrian psychiatrist, psychoanalyst, who right after World War II, he was studying orphans in orphanages, and there were a lot of them. A lot of children lost both parents in the war. And he's most well known for his study in London. He went to London and visited orphanages, and of course, the orphanages were just packed. There's lots of babies, lots of children in there. And what he noticed when he went in is that they were eerily silent. Quiet. And what he, as he did his studies, what he concluded was that these babies, these children that didn't have the attention and affection and love that they needed from their parents, it just really affected them. I mean, it affected them so that they weren't crying out. They affected them so that they really struggled even as infants. And, you know, that most of us didn't grow up in that situation. Most of us didn't grow up in an orphanage. Maybe some of us did, but most of us didn't. Most of us probably received a lot of affirmation growing up. We received a lot of commendation. We had a mentor, we had a parent, we had a pastor, a coach, a teacher that encouraged us and spoke words of affirmation. But here's the thing. Even if you grew up with a lot of commendation, a lot of praise, it's not enough. I mean, we want more. Even if you have a lot of people in your corner, we want more. One more person. I got to get one more degree so I'll have a little more recognition. I got to have just one more accomplishment, one more dollar, one more, and then people will really respect and honor me. One more position. One more goal. One more dollar. One more. If I can get one more, I'll get one more praise, and then that'll be enough. But if we ask those who have one more degree and one more accomplishment, they say, it's not enough. I want one more. There's something about us that I want more praise. I need some more affirmation. Give me a little bit more. Say you like me. If you don't, give me some words that I just really need your affirmation. And if unchecked, that need so much to do what people want and to have their appraisal, their kind words, their statements of "you're so great," another attaboy, if unchecked, the desire, I mean, psychologists have just noted that it leads to depression, anxiety, codependency, self-harm, and even suicide. The Bible has a word for that. It's in one of the verses we looked at today. It's called the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25. Look at it real quickly again with me. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. I want to think about that for just a few minutes this morning. This idea of the fear of man. Very short proverb. I want to unpack that idea and then find ourselves like that woman in Luke 7 at the feet of Jesus, seeking for his smile and his affirmation. So a few questions. Why do we have this need? Because we do. Why do we? What does it look like when we're trying to fulfill this need and satisfy it? And then lastly, how can we be saved? So let's think of those three things. Why do we have this need? Well, at one level, just even as I mentioned a moment ago, Renee Spitz's study, we were created to be loved. We're humans, and Pastor Larry referenced this earlier in our Proverbs study, that to be human means to be created in the image of God, and God has always been Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Father, Son, and Spirit have always loved and praised and honored each other. We're created in His image, so we are created to need someone to say, "Attaboy, good job, you're doing really well." In fact, the love that we receive from each other was always supposed to lead us to the true lover. We have fathers, so we'll look to the true father. We have kisses, so we'll look to the true kiss. We're created, yes, to be loved by each other, but also to realize, but this is not enough. I need more kisses and more hugs and more effort. I need more of it, so that we'll trace that back to the one who is the ultimate. In fact, that's what the idea of the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is the idea that says, I fear not having His approval. I have to have Him. I have to have the Lord look at me. I have to have Him turn to me. And so the fear of man is when we say, I have to have You. Please approve of me more and more. I have to have You accept me. I have to have Your affirmation. And if you've ever been in a relationship with somebody like that or known someone like that, you realize, I just can't give you what you're looking for. I can't give you what you need. Bruce Marshall was a Scottish author. He wrote a novel, and there's a character in it named Father Smith. Very known quote. You've probably heard this quote before, but Father Smith, he's talking to a lady, and he says, the young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously looking for God. And he's saying that in a dialogue as he talks with this lady in the story. But what he's getting at is he's saying, okay, all our searches for love are ultimately found in Him, ultimately found in the Lord. Or we could put it in a little more contemporary language. Carly Rae Jepsen, she wrote a song called Call Me Maybe. And at the end of that song, it's about this girl who's looking for the right boyfriend, and she finds the one, and she has this refrain at the end of the song where she says, before you came into my life, I missed you so bad. I didn't know I was looking for you, but you're the one I was looking for the whole time. Before you came into my life, I missed you so bad. Why do we have this need? At one level, we have because we're created in His image to love and to be loved. But also, we have this need that we can't fulfill in each other because we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're supposed to be led back to the one who is the true lover. That's why we have this. That's just kind of a creation theology, but what does it look like? I drew your attention to the end of Proverbs 31. Look at verse 30 again. Proverbs 31:30, because this verse tells us some of the tactics that we use to try and get those words of affirmation. Look at Proverbs 31:30. Gives us a couple tactics. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, or any person really, who fears the Lord is to be praised. So it's contrasting here. It's saying, fearing the Lord, or I can use charm, I can use wit, I can use intelligence, words, or I can use sex appeal, I can use my body, I can use my beauty to try and get the affirmation that I need. So here's what I want to do for just a couple of minutes. I came up with a list this week of some diagnostic questions as I just meditated myself and thought about ways that I try to get people to give me more affirmation and needs and tell me they like me and give me one more attaboy. And I came up with two categories, and they've got a few diagnostic questions in each. So what does it look like? I think it looks like these two categories. We like to hide our bads and display our goods. Let me show you. Give me some diagnostic questions. Maybe you rely on one of these. Maybe you go back and forth. But here they are. How do we hide our bads? Do you refuse to speak up in a meeting or ask a question in class or even respond to a group text because I don't want to look stupid? They're going to think I'm stupid. My question is not a good one. I don't want them to see what's inside. I don't want them to see who I really am. Incompetent. Here's the second one. Do you avoid relationship commitments? Just the serial dater that gets really close to somebody, and as soon as they start to know me, it's off. No. I can't let you see what's inside of me. I got to hide my bads. Or maybe this. Do you blame your inabilities on circumstances, others? Maybe just bad timing, right? They're always asking me, and it's so inconvenient. It's not that I just am short patient or I'm selfish. It's just bad timing, right? So it's not me, it's you for asking at the wrong time. But what does it look like when we're really seeking the fear of man? One of the things it looks like is, I don't really want you to see what's inside. So I hide it, I withdraw, I don't want you to see it. The other tactic is to display our goods. Some diagnostic questions here. Do you share the vocabulary and views of opposing groups? Right. When I'm with the conservatives, I sound like a conservative. When I'm with the liberals, I sound like a liberal. When I'm with my friends at school, I sound like my friends at school. When I'm with my friends at church, I sound like my friends at church. What's going on there is, listen, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to be in your group. Accept me. Bring me in. Sometimes we do this about this question. Do you talk about how bad you have it? Well, this is common, right? Right? Someone's sharing a struggle they have, and maybe you sometimes say, "Oh, you think that's bad? Let me tell you what I've been through. You think it's hard having kids? Wait, do you have teenagers? You think it's really hard to go through that? Wait, do you suffer what I've suffered?" And what do? We're like saying, "You think what you've got bad? I'm the survivor. I went through it and I made it. So buck up." What are we doing there? We're trying to say, listen, I'm awesome, I'm strong, I made it through this. Or here's one that I think lands really hard on all of us. Do you overcommit? Can't say no. Gotta have you say, "Thank you, you're great, you're always there. I gotta have that. I can't say no because I gotta have you always affirming me." What does it look like? I think we hide our bads and we display our goods. Let me read something to you real quickly from Ed Welch. He wrote a book called When People Are Big and God Is Small. And the whole book is an explanation of this concept, the fear of man. And he tells a story of a girl named Sarah. Let me share this with you real quickly. He says, Sarah was a three-sport star at one of the best colleges in the country. Not only that, she was the sophomore captain of all three teams, and she had just been named co-winner of the college's Best Female Athlete Award. With such ability and recognition, you would think that she was feeling pretty good about herself, but she was already worried about the next year. The expectations of others were going to be even greater. How could she top what she had already accomplished? She said she wanted to be the best girlfriend, the best athlete, the best student, related one of her good friends. She wanted to quit one of her sports to alleviate some of the overwhelming stress in her life, but she was afraid to disappoint her teammates. Saying no to any friend was out of the question. She wanted to please everybody and couldn't stop, one person said. And Sarah could think of no way out. And so she took a .22 caliber rifle and shot herself in the chest. Now I read that to you because we can chuckle at things like the fear of man. Oh, isn't that funny? Isn't it even cute sometimes? But here's the thing. The fear of man may not be the worst thing that we do, but it is the reason behind the worst things that we do. Prejudice, racism, self-harm, and even something as startling like suicide can all be related to the fact that I've got to have you praise me. I need you. Please give it to me. I can't let you down. And if I do let you down, I'm not going to be able to take it. But if we could even push it a little bit further, Jesus says this, do not fear those who kill the body. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I mean, at the end of the day, Jesus says, our greatest concern isn't that I'm afraid of others, but I have rebelled against my Maker. I've turned from him. And so the proverb says, the fear of man lays a snare. And that word snare means it's a trap. We think it's working. It seems to be going okay. I'm even getting the promotions. I'm getting the attaboys. But at one level, as the more we seek others to approve of us, it's like a trap that's closing in. I feel constricted. I've got so many narratives out there. I'm running so many shows and so many images. I can't really let anyone know what I'm like because I ruin everything. And it's like a trap that comes in. And then Jesus says, but if we spend our whole lives doing that, at the end of the day, we've spent our whole lives looking horizontal and we've never considered the one that we've sinned against. And so he says, the fear of man lays a trap. It's a snare. So how can we be saved? How can we look back at Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever knows how to be extremely witty and winsome and is so beautiful will be safe. No, it's not what it says. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. And I want to say this to some of us this morning because I know some of us, all of us at one time or another, have just felt the pressure coming in. I can't seem to make a decision, and it's not because I need more information, it's that I need more approval. I feel so trapped, I don't know where to go or what to do. And the good news this morning is that there is salvation. I mean, it's not that I have to just stay like this until I die. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So what does that mean? What does it mean to trust in the Lord? Because in some ways you might say, well, isn't that kind of dangerous? Didn't you just say that I have sinned against God. I left him. I decided not to go for his affection. I decided to go for others. And now you're saying I got to trust in him? How can that be safe? How can trusting in the Lord be safe? So a couple of things and we'll be finished. When the original ancient Jewish person would have read this phrase, whoever trusts in the Lord is safe, one of the things that would have come to his mind is the day that he brought sacrifices. So if you remember the Old Testament, they would take an animal, a sheep, a lamb, and they would walk up to the priest knowing that they had sinned, that they had sinned against the Lord. And their only hope is that the Lord said, that sacrifice will make you right with me. They had nothing else. They would come, the animal's bleeding, they bring it, they give it to the priest. He kills it and puts it on the altar. And their only hope, their only trust is, I hope the Lord accepts me because of that sacrifice. Whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. When they read that phrase, one of the things they were thinking of is, my only hope that he will ever turn to me in kindness is that this sacrifice will be sufficient right there on that altar. By the way, after the sacrifice was complete, remember what the priest would say to the people? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In other words, whose smile have I been looking for? I've been looking for the Lord to look to me. I've been looking for his approval, but I don't have that. I hope this sacrifice is enough to get me there. I hope it is. And when you offer it and the Lord accepts it, it says it's a pleasing aroma. The priest would look back at the people and say, may he turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, between that Old Testament sacrifice and us is the cross. Whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. What does that mean for us? It means just like that ancient Jew would say, I sure hope that this is enough. We look to the cross of Jesus and we say, I trust that that's enough. The only way I believe that he will smile to me is if that is enough. Will he turn towards me? Jesus is my only hope. Whoever trusts and rests in the Lord is safe. And the good news is I don't have to run the narratives anymore because I have the smile that I have been looking for. Let me ask you this, just by way of application. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe? Here's how you'll know, I think. It will show up in the way you counsel people. In particular, children, students, young adults. Does your counsel sound like this to somebody? Hey, listen, you're competent. You're awesome. You got all the gifts you need. Everything's going for you. Just network a little bit and you are going to make it. Everything is going to be fine. All you need to do is just trust and rely on your good gifts. You're so special, you can do this. Do you see how we set people up so easily for the fear of man with that kind of counsel? All you got to do is just have a great image and everything will be okay. I think we'll really see if we trust in the smile of God to be my sufficient strength to free me to live. We will know that by the way we try to counsel and comfort others. Let me end with this story and then we'll be finished. There's a story about a guy named Peter in the New Testament. And Peter struggled big time with the fear of man. In fact, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he's just a few yards away from Peter. Peter's over here warming his hands. And a girl walks up to him and says, hey, don't you know Jesus? And he says, don't know the guy. And she says, no, you know him. I don't know him. No, the little girl says, you know him. And it says, Peter swore, I don't know the man. And then he ran off depressed. He realized he had the fear of man towards this young girl. He betrayed Jesus. Peter drops out from the story. He's gone for a while. He's just overcome by how much he let the Lord down. And then one day after the resurrection, Jesus sets a fire up and he calls Peter over. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And I don't know what Jesus did around that fire, but it says there was breakfast. And I imagine he's handing fish and bread to Peter. And Peter can see the nail scars in his hands. Jesus isn't saying, Peter, do you love me? Because I really need you to love me. What he's saying is, Peter, this love, this relationship is still open. Do you want it? Do you love me? And Peter says yes. And if you have been in the shadows because you're exhausted from playing the game of trying to get all the approval of people you can, or maybe you have an entirely double life, maybe even a triple life. You've got a life at work and a life at home. You've got a life online. You've got a life in person. You've got all these double lives. And you're worn out. And the fear of man is what's making you hide. It's keeping you from coming out. Jesus comes to you and says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs. Don't run from them. Don't try to feast on them. They're my sheep. I died for them. They don't die for you. I died for you. Feed them. Do you love me? As we listen to him this morning, and as we come to his table, he doesn't offer us bread and fish, but he does offer us bread and juice. His body and his blood. As you receive this morning, would you hear him say, do you love me? That will set us free from the fear of man. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we confess this morning that we are glad to take of your Son, to have your smile toward us, that you would smile on us. Lift up your countenance toward us. Give us peace, we pray, even as we come to your table. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.